going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What an exciting day, ATL. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch. Abe's hanging out with us, by the way. He's up here helping us out today. We are going to get both of our first-round draft picks as the Falcons move back into the first round to get James Pierce at 26, Jalen Walker, 15th overall. They're both going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Let's talk to our man B-Mac right now, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, B-Mac, how surprised were you with what the Falcons did? And did you feel like we won the draft last night, at least in day one?
I wasn't surprised, man. We talked about this consistently leading up to the draft, the need to improve the defense, the need to improve the element of pass rushing. So attacking the defensive side, getting guys who can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks was a major necessity for the Falcons, and I applaud their efforts in doing so. Now, I was a bit surprised to see what they gave up to get back into the first round to go get James Pierce. But clearly the folks in the building felt like James Pierce was the number one edge rushing option available, and they wanted to do everything in their power to go get him. So it is what it is. But outside of that, man, you know, we talked about this, can't put any pressure on quarterbacks. And I did some research, guys. The last time, and you guys probably know this as well, the last time the Falcons had a double-digit sack guy was 2016, Vic Beasley.
Right.
Like, the number one song on the Billboard charts was Justin Bieber, Love Yourself. That's how long it's been since they had a guy that can get double-digit sacks. And then most recently, the last time they had an individual with at least 7 sacks was 2019. So that's been an issue for the team for quite some time, so I applaud them in trying to improve that area.
Yeah, I know that we all had, as Carl and I were just having this conversation off the air, you get locked into some of these valuations and what the so-called air quotes experts are saying, B-Mac. I had Mike Green higher than Pierce, but then when you look at it, Pierce is basically a bigger, twitchier version, you could argue, of Mike Green. We're all kind of familiar with Jalen Walker. I mean, we'll talk about where he's going to play in a second. But what do you think of Pierce? Does it mean just little things, just getting coached up, technique, maturity, that'll all come?
You know what, Mike? I'm right there with you. In terms of Mike Green and James Pierce, I had Mike Green higher on my board. I felt like he was a better pass rusher. And I just love his physical mentality. You know what I mean? I think that's something that's needed when you're battling in the trenches. But clearly the folks inside the building there, Flowery Branch, felt otherwise. But the thing about James Pierce that really jumps off when you watch him is his burst and his athleticism. You know what I mean? Clearly running that good 40 time in Indy really confirmed everything that you saw from him throughout his time there with Tennessee. And I think that was the say-all, be-all, the athleticism, the burst. And it kind of fits what they already have in place. You look at Leonard Floyd, you look at his length, you look at the athleticism. James Pierce is probably like a younger version of a Leonard Floyd, but I would say he's faster.
Did we give up too much? Or do
yes.
you think – okay. Why? Why?
All right. So if you're the Rams, number one, the Rams were not taking an edge rusher, in my opinion. If you look at their front, all of those guys are still in rookie contracts and they're playing fairly well. So if you're the Rams, you are okay moving. But for the Falcons to give up their second-round pick and a first-rounder in 2026, along with a seventh-rounder this year, those, including the first two picks, are value picks. The second-rounder in next year's next year's first, wherever that might be, I felt like the Falcons could have waited a little bit because, to your point, Mike Carr, I felt like James Pierce and Mike Green, they're kind of living in the same neighborhood, right? So let's wait a little bit, because I can tell you two teams are definitely willing to make something happen in terms of a move. Kansas City and Philadelphia, they've shown the ability to move out of the first round of years past. So I think I would have stayed put, just stay a little patient. Stay a little patient, and if Pierce is off the board, you still can trade up and maybe not give up as much as you gave up to get Pierce and still go get a high prolific pass rusher and a guy like Mike Green.
It is Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner, our weekly visit, talking about the draft. We'll talk about corners because that's something on the board for us, along with maybe DT coming up in a second. But let's talk about Jalen Walker. I mean, leadership, championship, I mean, everything. Coach's son, that phrase came up a lot last night, too. I mean, you got everything you're looking for. And again, a steal, Brian, the fact that he fell to us at 15. I guess the only thing was they were maybe looking to still trade down because they obviously like Pierce. How does he play? How do they use him off the jump? Because it's 6'1". Can he handle off the tackles? How do you use him to get after the quarterback in the NFL?
That's the thing. I think he would be more of like a joker type of player for their defense. He's an off-ball linebacker, very, very instinctive, but yet and still he can rush the passer as an edge rusher. So now you have to get creative. I look at how Dallas utilizes Michael Parsons from time to time. You know, sometimes he's an off-ball linebacker. Sometimes he's an edge rusher. Sometimes he lines up the three technique in situational packages, and you run stunts with him. Jalen has that ability, and he's very, very strong at the point of attack. Yes, he's not 6'5 or 6'4 or 6'3, but he's still strong at the point of attack, and he plays with good leverage. And he's a three-down player, you know what I mean? So the versatility that he has is something that can really benefit and help the entire defense out because he can play multiple positions, and he's not a liability in doing so.
Yeah, it's interesting. B, let's talk about your guys. And I think everybody was surprised as Pittsburgh. Now, I think they did the right thing. This is the brilliance, I believe, of the front office in never trying to say, you know, they're going to do what we think or go and reach out of pocket and say, oh, we needed that, and so we're going to go get it. They desperately need to get younger on that defensive line, and they got a good guy in Derek Harmon. But you had to be surprised that Shador is sitting there and 21 pops up and the Steelers don't do it.
Yes, I was surprised because that's a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I, for one, felt like Shador Sanders' tape was good enough to be selected there. Now, what we're hearing coming from this entire process, listeners, is that, and I can't confirm or deny that these allegations or these speculations are true, but we're hearing the interview process wasn't as appealing for a guy like Shador Sanders. We're hearing that, you know, when you go into an interview process, and all of us that's on this call right now, we've had to be involved in an interview. And for our listeners, our adult listeners, the same could be said for you as well. Hear me out with this situation. When you go into an interview process, it's your job to sell yourself to whoever it is that's interviewing you. So sometimes you got to change up things, your mindset, how you handle yourself, because you want to make them feel like we need him to be a part of what we're doing. And from what I'm hearing, and like I said, these are just things that I'm hearing. I was not involved in the interview process. I'm hearing that was not the case. I'm hearing it was a sense of, I don't want to say being overly confident, but it's like, if you don't draft me, oh, well, you're going to pay. Like, these are things these organizations don't take well to. And I know firsthand because I once was a drafted player and I once was involved in these interview process. And when I walked into the interview room, I'm the type of person, I'm a yes or no sir type of guy anyway, because that just shows respect. But also, too, I will exercise humility in terms of the dialogue that I'm having with organizations, because I want them to see I'm a humble individual and I love working and I want to do everything I need to do to be able to be an asset to your team. I think that's the issue. All I'm saying is these are things that I've heard. So you got to look at it like this, guys. Mike Carr, if you're thinking about bringing a guy into your organization to play a prominent position, and he kind of shows off to be more brashful than anything, not forthcoming, are you more inclined to draft him? Or would you be more inclined to draft another player that exercises humility from start to finish, and he seems to be a team player. Not saying Shador isn't, but these are the things that you like. I think you got to side with the latter.
Well, I hear what you're saying. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk with Brian McFadden here about the draft last night, this is one of the big storylines that will head into tonight's draft in round two. B, we know there have been guys in the past, quarterbacks, that have not interviewed well, yet they've still been drafted. And you're telling me that's what held Shador out of the first round? That is weak sauce. It is all about these bits and pieces, right? Combine's a bit and piece. Tape, bit and piece. Talking to their coaches, a bit and piece. Interview process, bit and piece. Medical. And you're telling me that he's the guy because he interviewed, apparently, again, you weren't there, I wasn't there. But if that's what kept him out of the first round, we know for a fact there have been other quarterbacks in the past in the National Football League that have done worse, that have had less personality, that couldn't draw plays on a board and still got drafted. So I have a hard time buying that. I don't know what it is, but I'm with you, and I felt the same way. But either way, do you think he's going to get picked tonight?
I hope so. I hope so. And listeners, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't feel that way. I'm basing my assumption off what I saw on Saturdays. And I will also add to this, Mike Carl, I've heard that a lot of NFL teams were not high on his tape. They were not high on his tape. A lot of people weren't. We were high on his tape from the outside looking in, but a lot of individuals who really dissect the tape were not high on the tape. So now if you're not high on his tape and you just didn't love the interview process, he came off as a bit brashful, making demands, saying this, saying that, of course you're probably going to turn to the other option. I'm just telling you, I wanted Pittsburgh to draft him. Me personally, you don't understand how I felt when I did not see his name called. I took a knee like I was in church saying a prayer. I broke down. Right. But now as I do my due diligence and I kind of put my ear to the streets, I'm hearing a lot of the same things from different people from within different organizations. You can't walk into an interview and make demands like you're the best thing since sliced bread. Now, see, you got to understand, his old man had that type of bravado because he was one of one. Right. Most people felt like Shador Sanders' his tape wasn't like that. So if they feel like your tape is not like that, you got to win them over in other areas.
I'm with you. And again, I still think to Carl's point, he's paying for the sins of his father. It's our man, Brian McFadden. Before we cut you loose, he played corner. It was really good. Will Johnson, people scared by his medical. He's still out there. Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. Just off the top of my head, if we do move again, which who knows, man, Riverboat Terry. But maybe we go get a corner. Who of those guys do you like the best? Because we need to get another corner. Help the nickel.
I love Trey Amos. I love his length. He reminds me a little bit of Rasul Douglas with his length and how disruptive he is at the line of scrimmage. I love Suvon Revel from East Carolina coming off an ACL, but it sounds like he should be ready to go at some point in time during the start of the season. Right. And you talked about Will Johnson. I think he's the most glorified. I know. He has been the most glorified collegiate corner over the last 3 years, but he's still available. But it's all about the injuries. And the thing that really hurt Will Johnson is because he finished the season injured, and when he did his personal workout.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He didn't do anything to showcase the speed is back where it needs to be. You know what I mean? And I think that really hampered his potential of being drafted clearly by now because he went through the drills, but you didn't run. You know what I mean? And speed is a necessity when you're playing the cornerback position. So there's a lot of corners that's available. Now, the one caveat is Atlanta doesn't have a second-round pick. Right? So how can you how can you finesse trying to go get one of these type guys that could be a second rounder when you don't? You know, do you want to continue to be, what you call them, Riverboat Terry, and try to find a way to get back into the second round and go get a difference maker? But at some point in time, guys, you're going to run out of resources.
Hey, just because we're on the subject, the other thing that came up the last couple of days, we're not being in play because Raheem Morris's relationship with Jalen Ramsey. He's gotten worse everywhere he's gone. You still think Jalen Ramsey is good enough to be worth the money?
$24 million is high-level pay for a corner. And I don't think he's that high-level player like he once was, but I still think he could really be a difference maker. It's up to Atlanta, because if you bring him in and he's receiving $24 million, he's playing corner. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, he's not playing nickel. He's not playing safety. He's playing a corner. And will the organization, do they feel like he still has what it takes to be able to receive that compensation and also to deliver on the goods? I think you got to try to take a chance on him, because – for Miami, I don't know if there's a team that would be willing to trade for Jalen Ramsey, eating his entire salary for this year. So if you're the Dolphins, you're probably going to be in a tough situation where you might have to eat some of the money that he's supposed to see this season to make it easier for him to be moved. And if that's the case, if you're Atlanta, you're all in anyway. It seems like they're rolling the dice. Riverboat Terry's making aggressive moves. If they're willing to eat some of that salary, bring Jalen Ramsey to town and let's make everything happen.